we'll talk about one of the biggest, the most important miracle of the history. When the Jews, they crossed the Red Sea. But before, you remember, the 10 plagues of Egypt. There is a mystical signification, mystical meaning. And we will see. We will follow Saint Augustine. He gave a beautiful explanation. Well, you remember, You remember the history. First of all the water of Egypt became blood. Waters of the Nile, the main river of Egypt. Waters of every source in Egypt. So the Egyptians, they couldn't drink anymore. They couldn't wash anymore. Only for the Jews in this area, the water. The Jews used to live here, the land of Jeshen. Only for the Jews, the water they kept clear and drinkable. Second plague, the frog. Egypt got full of frogs everywhere. Mountains, hills of frogs. So they couldn't work anymore. They started to get mad because of the noise of the frogs. Really, it's terrible. And when this plague stopped, those hills of frogs, they started to get into putrefaction. So the smell followed the noise. Mosquitoes and flies. Small animals, or they are not the mosquitoes we know, they are more or less harmless. Well, not always. They are called shinites in the Bible. It's difficult to understand which kind of mosquitoes. Anyway, the all Egypt was full and it was quite harmful. Flies, big flies. Devouring everything. The death of cattle. But once again, only for the Egyptians. The cattle belonging to the Jews. Death of cattle, but not for the cattle belonging to the Jews. The same for the boil. Wounds appeared on the body of the Egyptians and on the body of the cattle as well. But once again, not for the Jews. The hail, which destroyed all the fields. Locusts. Once again, locusts. We know locusts is a quite nice insect. Those locusts were devouring everything. The darkness during 3 days, and at the end, the death of the firstborn. First of all, God, you remember, punished the Egyptians with this plague because they wanted to kill the Jews, throwing the baby in the river. So, as a punishment, God killed the Jews, punished the Jews, the Egyptians, through the water. But what's the mystical meaning of this place? The most interesting one. If you take the books of the exegetes, they discuss which kind of flies, which kind of mosquitoes. That's not very interesting for us. Saint Augustine saw a parallel between the 10 plagues and the 10 commandments. God gave us a law through the 10 commandments, and through the 10 plagues he wanted to mean that he was punishing the sinners. He wanted to punish the sinners. First of all, found with big plagues, but even with small plagues, like mosquitoes. Because when God sends to us a punishment, it's not to kill us, but basically, is that to push us to repent. So not all the plagues kill all the Egyptians. Anyway, what's his commentary? First of all, and this is the main sin that God is going to punish in the mind of St. Augustine. All the other plagues have a special relation with the first one. What is this first sin that our Lord is going to punish, and what is this first sin which brings all the others? The sin is the sin against God, a lack of adoration. Lack of adoration, when we don't give to God the first place, everything becomes blood. Water, which is given to us to give life, to bring life, water becomes undrinkable. Why? Because for the sinners, everything is dirty, everything is unbearable. A sinner cannot find anymore something that he can appreciate. What a sinner can he appreciate? What can appreciate? Nothing. Everything is bitter to him. Everything brings dead to him. So the waters become blood to him. Lack of adoration. When we don't give God the first place. What does it mean? What's the first consequence when we don't give God the first place? We are empty, because only God can fill us. Okay? When we are empty, how can we feel our emptiness? With the noise of the frogs, with the noise of the world, with the gossip, with the useless words, the useless noise of the world. We can put inside everything, not only the gossip, not only this continuous effort of the world to keep our hearing engaged. That's terrible, especially nowadays. You see people, why people they cannot think about God? Because there is always an input destroying them, an input inside their ear. That's terrible. The frogs. We talk words like a frog. What's the result? What's the result of our gossip? But what's the result of this noise of the world, which tries to feel our emptiness? Is a kind of bitterness. When we gossip, maybe once in a while it happened to you. When we make this mistake, how do we feel later? We feel empty and we feel bitter. This bitterness is meant by the smell of the frogs, and the heels of dead frogs, they left a terrible smell. So we feel our soul in a bad manner, and at the end we are bitter. We feel bitter. Useless conversations about nothing. Second consequence, when we don't give God the first place, there is a lack of adoration, lack of prayers. We live like mosquitoes, always in a state of agitation. We are always looking for something else to distract us. That's exactly the opposed of the soul who lives in the peace of God. When we don't have God inside, we are like mosquitoes, flying everywhere, looking for we don't know what. It's kind of agitation, typical. Only God can bring and can give peace. And this state of agitation is at the same time spiritual and physical as well. We want to change our place. We want to go somewhere else. We want to see. We want to travel. Why? Because we don't have peace inside. So the exterior desire to move somewhere. This exterior desire is a consequence of this interior instability. Already the Romans, the pagan poets, they used to describe a lot this kind of state of our soul. Of course, they couldn't give the answer. They used to say, that's like that. Life is like that. We go in another place, we move, but we go on holiday, but on holiday we get soon bored. So we want to change, we want to come back. Fourth plague, like the flies, big flies, which used to eat everything and to bite one another. Means detraction, sins against the neighbor, detraction, calumny, biting one another. Always a consequence of the first sin. You see wisdom. Wisdom is the main gift of the Holy Ghost, pushing us to give to God the first place. Once we give God the first place, all our life is well organized, well ordained. But once, so we get the other gift of the Holy Ghost. Once we don't give our Lord the first place, we get all this consequence. What the death of cattle, what does it mean? Cattle, you know, they symbolize the work. Those people used to live as a shepherd, and so cattle were their wealth. Well, our work represented, signified by the cattle, our work, they cannot live, they cannot survive if they don't come from God. If our intention is not supernatural, our work, all our work will finish, will die like cattle if they are not done according to the will of God. You see? So as well as the Egyptians, they lost their cattle, our work will finish into nothing if they are not done according to the will of God. They are useless, completely useless. This lack of spirit, of supernatural intention. Useless. What about the boils and this wound which appeared on the skin of the Egyptians and of their cattle as well? The body, they signify the skin, and it's like the soul of the sinners, the skin of the Egyptians. A sinner is full of wounds, but the wounds of the sinner are harmful and they are painful to the sinner. The sinner doesn't and cannot enjoy his sin. So a sinner, since he is a sinner, gets very painful wounds. What's this wound, this main wound, so painful for the sinner? Basically, a sinner is selfish. He's selfish to us, the neighbor, and to nothing to us, God. Since he is selfish, he's never satisfied. So he's a victim of himself. He's going to suffer because of his sin, because of his the consequence of his sin. His soul is full of boils. What about the hail? Hail is terrible. No, can destroy fields, can destroy everything. Can destroy, well, that's not this was not the problem. Can destroy a car. Can spoil a car. Can happen. You in Europe when you are traveling, you get hail. You have to find immediately a place where you can hide your car. But normally after 2-3 minutes, all the place are busy. So you have to pray God. It is terrible. Can destroy everything. What does it mean? Always consequence. You see the link. Very interesting. It's war. The sinners, they cannot agree. They cannot agree. It's war. They destroy. They fight each other. Locusts. You know, is a very can eat everything. Can eat this table. Can eat this room. Especially the big, very, very voracious. You see, it's a very
voracious
kind of insect. Is never satisfied. Why? Because the sinners, they are never satisfied. They cannot find peace. So one sin leads them to another sin, but they cannot find satisfaction. What about darkness? Darkness is the result of all these consequences of the first sin. Darkness is when we lose, finally we lose our contact with God. God cannot touch us anymore. When we go, when we descend deeper and deeper and deeper into our sins, finally we are like in the bottom of a well. We cannot see anymore, not even a ray of light. And the light cannot penetrate anymore to us. What does it mean? A sinner can go so far from God that God is not anymore able to touch him. What does it mean that God is not enough strong? No, of course God is strong. But when the sinner is too far from God, then the sin against the Holy Ghost cannot have any more this kind of reception of the light. Of course, once again, God can touch every soul, provided the soul is open. Sin against the Holy Ghost. That's terrible, You see? The frog, the mosquito, we go deeper and deeper. And what about the death of the firstborn? Is the last consequence. Is the eternal death of what we have most precious. What do we have most precious? What is our first born, as well as the mother, the family, is particularly attached to her first born. What our personal first born, right, is a soul. At the end, we lose faith, we lose hope, we lose charity, and we lose our soul. This is the explanation of Saint Augustine. It's beautiful. I wish you grasp everything is a consequence of the first thing. When we don't give God the first place, everything becomes blood, becomes bitter. Life. Remember the living life of our God, the living life, the living water, right? Living water bringing life. That water becomes blood, becomes bitter, undrinkable. Nevertheless, no one of the plagues touched the Jews, and the Jews they live here in the middle of Egypt. The delta, this is the delta, the Nile, the end of the river. Well, it was full of Egyptians around. No one of the place touched them, touched the Jews. Why? Let me. If we are faithful to God, we can live in this world without getting affected and touched by the consequence of sin. If we're faithful to God, wherever we are, we can find our land of justice, even though we live in Egypt, which was the most worldly and pagan country at this time. And once again, God used this place to oblige at the end the Pharaoh to give his permission to the Jews to live. Why? Because God, remember, God takes out good from evil. Always. I would like to talk with you a little bit about the Easter, the Jewish Easter, and especially about the Paschal Lamb. You remember we touched already the topic during Holy Week, our small retreat. It was into another picture. I would like now to see with you more in the detail, because it's a very meaningful page of the Bible. The signification, the meaning of the lamb. So maybe I will repeat something that I told you already, but I try to do it more in detail. So at the end, the Pharaoh was obliged, after the last one of the, after the ninth, after the ninth plague. He still was reluctant, and before the tenth of the plague, God asked the Jews to eat the Paschal Lamb. So the Paschal Lamb is here, and the angel of the death will come after the Jews ate the Paschal Lamb. So the chapter 12 of Exodus, Jewish Easter, is the first Easter of the history. You know, we were at that time at the month of Nisan. Nisan is the first month of the Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar is between March and April. The Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. And they had a special feast at the beginning of every month, the Jews. You know, the Paschal Lamb had to be eaten. I can do it here. The Paschal Lamb had to be bought on the 10th of Nisan, and he had to be eaten, slayed and eaten on the 14th. put into peace. He had to be prepared and kept at home to be eaten later.
Well, already the Paschal Lamb is the main figure of our Lord in the entire Bible. You will see the Lamb where does it appear again in the part of the Bible.
The Jews, they could leave Egypt only after, as I told you, only after they ate the Paschal Lamb.
Why?
What is Egypt? Egypt is this world. Egypt is this world. Canaan is the promised land, is heaven. But to leave this world, before we leave this world, to be able to leave this world, we need the strength of our Lord. We need Holy Eucharist. We need to eat the Paschal Lamb. So the Jews, they couldn't celebrate their first Easter outside Egypt. They had to be strengthened before they left Egypt. Only the Jews, they were allowed to eat the Paschal Lamb. The Jews, or eventually the Egyptians who accepted following the Jews, accepted the circumcision. What does it mean? We can eat our Lord, we can get the strength of our Lord only if we have our circumcision. I know circumcision is a figure of the baptism, as well as the Paschal Lamb is a figure of Holy Eucharist. To eat our Lord, we have to be purified. So we water for baptism. He had to be eaten at home. At home, with our own family, a family. But if the family was too small and was not able to finish the lamb, they could call, and they had to call the neighbor. Because the lamb had to be eaten completely. You will see what does it mean. They couldn't leave anything. The lamb had to be chosen on the 10th of Nisan, had to be chosen, and he had to be a male, spotless, 1 year old. Male, spotless, 1 year old. A goat could replace the lamb if the family was too poor to buy a lamb, or they couldn't find a lamb. They could eat and sacrifice, offer and eat a goat. You know the blood. Our Lord, God asked Moses to sprinkle the door frame with the blood of the lamb. Not only the door frame, but even some, the true part and the superior part. It had to be eaten during the night, not during the day. Only during the night, and everything had to be finished before the raising of the sun. They couldn't eat the lamb raw, and they couldn't eat the lamb boiled. Neither raw nor boiled, but baked entirely. The head, the feet, and the organs, entire organs. And the Jews, they had to eat it standing with a cincher, with the sandals, with the staff in their hand, quickly, without wasting time. And they had to eat the lamb with bitter herbs. Bitter herbs. The herbs of the desert, as the members of the desert. And they, as we do, you don't do it. I mean, the Jews, they used to eat bread, as we eat rice. As we eat rice now. That bread for Easter had to be without leaven,
that's why our hosts are made without leaven. In the Latin rite. But you know the distinction between Latin rite and Greek rite? I never told you. You know, the Greeks, they have big hosts like that, very thick, with a lot of leaven inside. Why? Because to them, leaven means the grace which makes grow everything. So their hosts are like that. And they do it with the water, they put the water in the shell, they blend everything. Boom. In the Latin rite, the host is without leaven as a remembrance of the azim. Azim means without leaven, as remembrance. So of the bread the Jews ate in their Easter, on Easter feast. It means, well, we see, it means that it's the absence of sin. Is a pure bread made out of wheat, without the fermentation of sin. Easter. Well, but all these details, what do they mean? The lamb had to be prepared on the tenth and slayed on the 14th. Why? Because our Lord on the 10th started his passion. When our Lord came into Jerusalem, arrived in Jerusalem. This is Palm Sunday, and this is the immolation. This is the we would say this is the Holy Thursday, Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday. He started his passion, but actually he prepared his passion, but his immolation took place in the garden, took place when he offered his life to the Father. 10th of Nisan, 14th of Nisan. We can leave, it's quite easy. We can leave this land only when our Lord delivers us. As well as the Jews, they can leave Egypt because of the Paschal Lamb. Because the Paschal Lamb saved us, we can leave the world only because our Lord saves us. It has to be eaten inside the family. Inside the family. So, It's a quite private ceremony. What does it mean? It means that our Lord wants with each of us this personal relationship. Nevertheless, if our family is not enough big to finish the lamb, we can call the neighbor. Why? Because it's the communion of saints. Question of charity. On the one hand, our Lord has a personal relationship with every soul. On the other hand, every soul has to call the others, has to practice charity towards the others, because every soul communicates with the same God. He has to be made spotless. He has to be perfect. He has to be perfect. This virginal perfection of our Lord, this moral perfection of our Lord. At the same time, 1 year old. Why 1 year old? Because during 1 year, 1 year is the accomplishment of an entire cycle. So 1 year old, once again, is the perfection of our Lord. A goat could replace. You remember what's the meaning of the goat? The goat is one of the other animals that the Jews they could offer. What's the meaning of the goat? The goat is the most humble animal that the Jews they could offer. It means incarnation. It means the humiliation of our Lord during his incarnation. I open a parenthesis. You remember which are the animals that the Jews they could offer? There are six animals in the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Basically, six animals. The lamb is the meekness of our Lord. Every animal has a different meaning related to our Lord. The lamb is the meekness. The goat is the humility and incarnation. The ram is the strength of our Lord. The cow is the patience. And which are the two other animals the Jews they could offer? You remember? Which other animals?
Dove
and turtle dove. What's the meaning of turtle dove and dove? Do you remember? Turtle dove is chastity, because the turtle doves are monogam. The dove means contemplation, because the dove can stand contemplation of God. Well, we go back to the lamb. Well, the blood on the door frame, of course, is the blood of our Lord saving us and protecting the house. The angel of the death is not going to kill wherever he finds what? Wherever he finds the grace of God, because the blood of our Lord brings the grace of God. It has to be eaten, the lamb, during the night, before the rising of the sun. Why? Why? Are we going to eat our Lord in heaven? No. We receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist only on this earth, only for this journey from Egypt to Canaan. Right? Only to be strong enough to cross the Red Sea. We need our Lord now, but now we are in the night. In the night, why? Because now we cannot see God face to face. Once we will see God face to face, we will be already in heaven. We are not going to eat. We don't need the Holy Eucharist anymore, because this union of Holy Eucharist on earth will leave place in heaven to the beatifical vision of our Lord. We will possess our Lord in another manner, in a more complete and eternal manner, forever. Holy Eucharist is now. You remember Elias. Elias ate his bread. You remember the story. Elias was very tired, wanted to die. God, please let me die. He wasn't here. He started to sleep. The angel came. What do you mean? Wake up and eat. So he ate and he left again. And the angel let him up. He walked. With the strength of that bread, 40 days and 40 nights. And you went, where you went? Usquad mountain day Oreb. Oreb. What's Oreb? Oreb is the hill, is the top of Sinai. Oreb. So, Elias, for 40 days, with the strength of that bread came until Sinai. And the Jews now they eat the lamb, and they are going to travel around here in this area for 40 years. Why 40? What does it mean, 40 years or 40 days in the case of Elias? 40, you know, is the number in Holy Scripture of one generation. So, it means it is the number of life on earth. It doesn't mean that all the Jews they used to die when they were 40. No, but it's a symbolical number. It's the number of life. It's the time of a life. We need this strength of our Lord to be able to cross the Red Sea, to be baptized, and to walk, to travel, and to fight for 40 years. After 40 years, we will get the Holy Land. We will get heaven. You see, the entire catechism is here. If you understand this lesson, I can't begin this time. Remember, the lamb couldn't be eaten, neither raw or boiled. Raw is without faith, and boiled, cooked with water. What water? What does it mean, water? Water, I'm not talking about water of the baptism. If you compare water to wine, wine in Holy Scripture means wisdom and contemplation, because you get drunk. Really, you get, that's a good expression, you get drunk of our Lord. I'm not joking. Saint Augustine uses this expression, sobria ebrietas, drunkenness, sober drunkenness. What does it mean? It means that when a soul finds our Lord, gets drunk. Because that means he cannot think about anything else. Of course, you have to take it always. You understand what I mean? So the Gaskin, sobria ebrietas, a beautiful expression. Sober drunkenness, drunkenness of our Lord. So, what's water compared to wine in this case? Water is nothing, is meaningless. It's meaningless. So, the lamb cooked in the water is a lamb understood with human wisdom. We cannot approach our Lord, we cannot approach the lamb only with human wisdom. No. We cannot eat the lamb boiled. We cannot eat the lamb boiled. We cannot eat the lamb raw. We have to eat the lamb baked. Baked? Why? Baked with what? With the fire. Which fire? The fire of faith and of the Holy Ghost, of charity. The fire of charity. Entirely. We have to eat everything, the head and the feet. The divinity and the humanity of our Lord. We have to believe. We have to believe that the Lamb is true God and true man. And we have to accept as well all the interior part. We have to eat all the interior part of the Lamb. What does it mean? To eat the interior part. All the consequences of the incarnation, all the weaknesses of our Lord. As man, he had weaknesses. All the weaknesses, except sin, of course. But he was tired. He died. You see? Why that's a mystery? Because that's a scandal for the Jews, that the Son of God, the Messiah, Son of God, could die on the cross. That's a scandal. And that's foolishness for the pagans. How can a pagan believe that God can die, can become a man, can die? That's madness. Madness and scandal for the Jews. We have to eat the interior parts of the lamb. The interior parts of the lamb are all the consequences of incarnation, the weakness of our Lord as man, except sin, of course. His fragility.
When all this took place, when they had to eat the Paschal lamb, they had the whole lamb. Did they understand why?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
But was there any Jewish custom that was significant to them when they were told to eat the organ?
No. Remember, the Old Testament is like a shade of the New One. But fully, we can understand the New Testament only from the viewpoint of the New Testament. But certainly, they knew that if God asked them to do like that, to follow this ritual, there was a reason. They knew that lamb has a relationship with Isaiah is already much more clear. Isaiah, we see later on. What is lamb? This lamb is the Messiah, the suffering Messiah. But for instance, the Jews, they didn't know that the Messiah was the Son of God as well. They didn't know, the Jews. The Messiah was going to be God incarnate. They didn't know.
But why would God give them a custom, a tradition?
Yes, to lead them to the New Testament.
But without explaining it to them.
Why? Because all these things are a mystery. Do you think, are you understanding everything? No. I tell you.
No.
This is the main problem of Bible. The main problem of Bible. Eh? Bible is a cupboard full of mysteries. Sorry, I use this expression. We are opening this cupboard with the aid of the church, of the fathers, of the tradition, whatever, and we discover a little bit Bible. But I tell you, eternity will not be enough to you. To me, everybody. Well, we will see God face to face, so we are not going to read anymore the Bible. This is important. When we approach the Bible, I will repeat again. Don't get upset. When we approach the Bible, we approach the mystery. We approach God. Approach God. To tell you. See the modern way to approach the Bible. Either you find people who just they discard their emotions when they read the Bible. Oh, it can be interesting, but meaningless at the same time. Or you find people, they read the Bible in not with the eyes of the faith, but with a scientific sight, viewpoint. So they will discuss. We will discuss all the hypotheses. Where did the Jews they crossed? So they were no, they were here. They were no, they were no, they were there. So, what this kind of, for instance, I told you, we discussed a lot about the flies, because the flies, they play the we don't know exactly which kind of flies. So they start to analyze the name, the Greek name, the Jewish. No, now you're laughing. But to tell you. Fine. At the end, what do you discover? Did you discover a new insect? No. But the Bible is not given to us with that purpose. Bible, we need with Bible a supernatural approach. A supernatural approach, and we have to follow not our modern means or scientific means or our personal impression of things. We have to follow the church if we want to know the Bible. We have to follow the fathers with humility, because they think they discovered America because they discovered nothing. You're laughing. God, Pascal, Louis Pascal is a French, he's French, but he told nice things. He's a French philosopher. Not everything is good. He told Pascal, Bible is enough dark to hide the truth to unworthy souls, to the proud. At the same time, Bible is enough clear to be understood by the simple. You remember Father Couture, yes, in his sermon, he quoted Isaiah, told Isaiah, the vocation of Isaiah. So God sending Isaiah to preach, so with the he purified the lips with the coal, and he told him something very strange. So you go to preach, and I will do in such a manner that hearing you, they will not understand. Why? You send me to preach, and hearing me, they will not understand. Why? Why? Because they are unworthy. You will preach my word, but only the simple, only the humble, they will understand what you're going to tell. That's what our Lord did. The Pharisees, they knew the Bible very well. They knew everything. They could repeat the Bible by heart. The Jews, the scribes, I tell you that since they were 5 years old, they started to repeat the Bible by heart. Could they understand our Lord when he was talking? Could they grasp our Lord? No. Could they recognize our Lord? No. The simple, they couldn't read, they couldn't. But when our Lord started to open his mouth, the simple, they felt immediately, this man is not like the Pharisees. This man has a moral authority, has an authority, a spiritual authority. What is his authority? Why? Because only the simple, we need humility if we want to understand. It's a question of prayer, of contemplation, of meditation, of patience. Can I read the Bible? No. Nothing can remain until the morning. Everything has to be during the night. So already before the eternity, on this earth. What is not eatable, because there are parts which are not eatable, they have to be burned. Why? What you cannot eat, you have to burn. What you cannot understand, we have to burn, and we have to accept in our faith. Not everything can be eaten. What we eat by faith. But there is something so hard that we cannot eat, we cannot grasp. We have to burn, to consume everything in the fire of our charity and our faith, to accept everything. Well, and to approach our Lord, and this is true nowadays as well, we ask ourselves, we wonder, how can I make my meditation, how can I think about our Lord? Listen, how can I approach our Lord? Listen, essential. Center means mortification, chastity, purity of intention, the chastity, and the center. The sandals, the protection of God against sin. In Holy Scripture, the stones, they have this meaning of sin. Wherever you find a stone, you can fall. God, you find this expression quite often in the Psalms, God is going to protect you from the stones and from the traps you're going to find. God is going to protect you. God is going to protect your feet. It's quite often in the Psalm you find this expression. Sandals, the staff in their hands. Staff, is the cross. You have to embrace the cross and to hold the cross quickly. The lamb had to be eaten quickly, fervently. We cannot take our time. No, we cannot take our time with our Lord. We cannot say, "Oh, okay, tomorrow." No, tomorrow is too late. Tomorrow maybe we are already in the eternity. Like the Roman emperors, you know, the Roman emperors, when the empire became Catholic, so they gave liberty, freedom to the church, whatever, but they wanted to convert at the end of their life. So the baptism was going to delete everything, and they used to hope to go straight to heaven in this manner. You know, this is not the way to love our Lord. To eat quickly. With bitter herbs. Bitter herbs. What bitter herbs? It's penance. Penance. It's the association of our cross to the cross of our Lord. We can, that's a big illusion. Big illusion. To get our Lord. Because God is love. We get out if we don't carry our cross. No, it's a big illusion. There is no saint in heaven who didn't carry his cross, who didn't practice his mortification, who didn't see his bitter herbs. Believe me, the church. Without leaven, without pride, without bad intention. You see, leaven can change entirely, completely, and deeply a substance from wheat. Really, with leaven, you get bread, you get pasta, you get whatever, you get a cake, you get bone. Leaven can change completely. Does it mean a bad intention can change the nature of our works? Exteriorly maybe our works are still good, but from inside they're empty. Pride. That's why the Jews had this big feast after 8 days. They had to, it was the feast of the Azimuth. Because this was Easter, and from this day up to 8 days later, they had to throw out to make disappear from their house even a small piece of bread made with leaven, to signify the purity of the soul. And after 8 years, like we have Easter octave. Okay, they had Azim, the Feast of Azim, of the bread without leaven. Bon, the meaning is clear. The baptism, after they have been strengthened by them, the baptism, and 40 years here, and they will again. Eternity. Now a question. Try to understand, to answer your question. The Jews, well, not in the desert, but once they reached the Holy Land, every year they celebrated Easter. They celebrated Easter. Try to think. Our Lord knew very well the meaning of that lamb. And our Lord, when he was a child, when he was 12, when he was 15, when he was 20, when he was 25, he used to go every year to Jerusalem with his family to eat the lamb. To with the lamb. He knew perfectly
the meaning of each one of these details
much better than we do. We know a little bit. He knew everything, and he knew that that lamb was himself. You can understand. At the Last Supper, when he told the apostles, in the Gospel of St. Luke, desiderio desiderat is a typical Jewish expression. I desired with a strong desire to eat this lamb with you. You cannot imagine how much did I desire, how much I was expecting, waiting to eat this Easter, this lamb with you, the last one on Holy Thursday, a few minutes before the agony. My desire is there. Beautiful. You want to complete the picture, You find the lamb from the first page of Holy Scripture until the end. What's the first sacrifice mentioned in the Bible? What's the first sacrifice? The sacrifice of Abel. The sacrifice of Abel is accepted by God, not the sacrifice of Cain. Because the dispositions are different. Okay, but there is another reason, symbolic reason. Why? Because finally God is waiting for the lamb. He's not waiting for anything else. So the lamb is accepted by God. The lamb offered by Abel and not the other offerings. And Abel, remember, this beautiful figure. Abel is the victim of his brother. At the same time, he's not a priest, strictly speaking, but he's the one who offers the lamb. He's the figure of our Lord, priest and victim. Priest and victim on the cross. You know, Isaiah is most known. We are the sheep, lost sheep, without shepherd, and a lamb came to save us. And this lamb is silent. All, chapter 53, all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone has turned aside into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was offered because it was his own will, and he opened not his mouth. He shall be led as a sheep to the slaughter, and shall be dumped as a lamb before his shearer, and he shall not open his mouth, our Lord. And you find the same idea on Easter Mass, the Victime Paschali, the seconds of Easter Mass. Agnus redemit ovis. The lamb redeemed the sheep. The lamb redeemed the sheep. That's a beautiful figure for our Lord. The lamb redeemed the sheep. Why? What does it mean? The lamb redeemed the sheep. Lamb and sheep is the same species, same race. What's the difference between the lamb and the sheep? One is innocent. So he took our nature, our human nature, but he didn't take our sin. He carried our sins, but he was innocent. So same nature, sheep and lamb, but the lamb redeemed the sheep. That's beautiful. Isaiah is really the fifth gospel. It's called the fifth gospel. Bon, you know St. John. St. John, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of this is St. John. That was the first acknowledgement of our Lord, the public acknowledgement of our Lord, was done through this figure of the Lamb. He didn't say, St. John, behold the Messiah, behold the prophet, behold the one we were waiting for, behold the Lamb. To signify how meaningful is this word. In the Apocalypse, the last book of the Bible is the book of the Lamb. And you find the Lamb everywhere in the Apocalypse. Heaven is built around the Lamb. The kingdom of the Lamb. The church, the bride of the Lamb. Another question. Well, already. Our Lord, the Gospel of St. John, our Lord is presented as the Lamb, at the same time he's presented as this good shepherd. That can look strange. Why? Why at the same time is the shepherd and the lamb? Shepherd and lamb. Why? Because as man, he took our nature, as I just told you, took our nature, but he's innocent. So he's a lamb among the sheep. On the other hand, he's the Son of God. So he's the shepherd, true God and true man. Why this picture? Because finally the Jews, they left Egypt. We know the story. You saw the picture. You saw, you bring her. Try to forget. Try to forget the movie. Because really, no, really, let's forget the movie because it's not the same story. It's full of. The normal way to reach Canaan was here. This was the normal way. This is Mediterranean Sea, Egypt, Holy Land. Over there there is a beautiful country, but I didn't tell.
Italy.
The normal way was this one. When, for instance, they sold Joseph, they sold Joseph by this way. This was the normal way to reach Egypt. Because here you get a lot of mountains. Well, you know, when they left Egypt, the Jews, there was a cloud leading them during the day, and a fire during the night, a column of fire. Well, they follow the fire, they follow the cloud, the fire, because it was from Jason to this place 3 days. Why 3 days? Because our Lord was during 3 days in the tomb. So we can reach. Since baptism, the water, is a fruit of the resurrection of our Lord, of the passion and of the resurrection, we have to walk for 3 days before we can reach the sea, we can reach the water. Fine. 3 days, following the cloud. From this place, they went up. They went here. And you see the situation. On this side, they had Red Sea. On this side, they had mountain. I don't know, remember the name of this mountain. At this mountain, they go straight away to the coast. So they. There is no issue here. You cannot escape. And here, the Pharaoh with the chairman, they came here. So, the Jews here, they couldn't escape anymore. Humanly speaking, that was a madness to go there. Really madness. Oh, you know what happened later? What does it mean? That does in detail. God didn't want to expose them immediately to the inhabitants of this land, because they were not ready to fight against them. When we discover faith, we are not able to fight immediately. So God wants to protect us little by little. He's leading us here, and He will protect us here with His mercy, with this miracle. Little by little, later, we will fight against Canaan. And the Jews are going to fight a lot. But now, at the beginning, they are not ready. And you see, the projects of God are always different from our projects. You know, when they arrived here, the Jews started to scream, to scold Moses. Couldn't we die in Egypt? Why you led us here to die here in the desert? They started to scream against Moses. And what Moses did? He prayed. And God told him, don't worry, lift up your staff, lift up the cross, lift up the cross, lift up the cross. And immediately, when they were here, it was night already, the cloud didn't become fire. It kept the cloud, and he returned backwards. And you know, the Egyptians, they had to stop here because the cloud was stopping them, their sight. And so the Jews they could go on. This cloud and this fire signify, once again, the double nature of our Lord, to God and to man. The fire is His divinity leading us in the desert, enlightening us in the darkness, and He's protecting us, and the cloud is His humanity. Why? Because the cloud used to protect the Jews during the day from the rayons of the sun in the desert. They used to walk with a big umbrella. Really. They didn't get the rayons of the sun. And what does it mean? What's the relationship between the cloud and humanity of our Lord? Who is going to judge us? Our Lord. Is our Lord our judge? As man or as God? As man. Because the Holy Ghost is not going to judge us. God entrusted everything to the Son. Why? Because the judge, remember, needs to have something in common with the subject. He's going to judge. So our Lord is going to judge us because our Lord is a true man, true God and true man. And since He's going to judge us as men, He's going to be merciful to protect us as the cloud protects the Jews. So, the fire of divinity and the cloud and the mercy of our Lord. Okay. Now we stop.
5 minutes more?
No, I think. And it's a half an hour, is it?
That normally the Jews used to walk, to proceed by tribes. And of course the first tribe was the tribe of
Judah.
No, Reuben. Reuben, second tribe, second son. Who is the second son? Second son of Jacob. Second son of Jacob. Who is it? Simeon. The third is Levi. And the fourth is
Judah.
But when the sea opened, so Moses invited Reuben to go on. They were scared. The same for Simeon, the same for Levi. When Judah, the tribe of Judah arrived, of course they boom. So the tribe of Judah passed across the first. Why? Why? Because salvation comes from the tribe of Judah. You remember last time? The dialogue between our Lord and the Samaritan woman. You say that the salvation comes from the Jews. We worship here. This, Lord, a time will come when. Okay. I think we stop here.